Hope y'all week's been going good. If you will, turn to Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 6. And I like this part because it's pretty. Just what it says is just what it means. So, surely, hopefully, I won't mess it up too awful bad. But Daniel chapter 6 talks about a man who even the governors, the kings, people in authority, they paid attention to him. They knew he was honest. They knew he was trustworthy. They knew he could count on him. And of course, if you go in what we call the swamp, as they call it in our country, all those people are going to hate anybody like that because that's the kind of guy that messes the swamp up. So we've got the pure swamp right here that we're going to hear about this morning in Daniel. So let's see what it says. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because of an excellent spirit in him that was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto the king, "Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together and established a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign it into writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writings and the decrees. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeling upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, and he did as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake unto the king concerning the king's decree, "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of God or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but makest his petition 3 times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that decree nor statute of the king established may be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in with haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded they brought those men which accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them and their children and their wives. And the lions had their mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, or ever they came near the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, languages, that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is a living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be ever even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in reigned of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So we see here a man who caught the eye of a king. We see here a man who, if we go all the way back, he had purposed not to violate God's stuff, to not eat the things that were against his religion, and not to defile things that were against his religion. He stood up and believed in what God had said and wrote and did. And we find here that Daniel, by doing so, had great respect of the king. And it's the same thing it says for us in Romans 13, not to riot against the law. And this man's in captivity. This man's actually a prisoner here. And yet even as a prisoner, he is obedient to the king as much as he can be without violating the law of God. We never violate the law of God. So it says here, this man caught Darius's eye. He caught the king's eye. In fact, this king thought so much about it, he would have put him over all the other princes and rulers and everything else under him. He says, but in this time they set up a bunch of kings, a bunch of princes, and 120 princes, which he ruled over his old reign, over his whole rule and over that. And this would be like the congressmen, the senators and all that we have. And they all were divided out to have different places they did. But these guys envied and hated Daniel, because Daniel messed up their corrupt ways. Daniel made it where they couldn't cheat or skim things off the top for their own benefit. Daniel, because he watched the figures. Daniel, because he watched the numbers. Daniel, because he was honest and upright, brought a true report to the king, and the king could trust him because he knew that Daniel was trustworthy. So it says here, and this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because of an excellent spirit was in him. God had placed this excellent spirit in Daniel. God had made this young man strong in his captivity. This God had made him a follower of the law of God, or a follower of the facts of the Ten Commandments, a follower of the fact that you don't cheat people or mistreat people or do things wrongly. You do the best you know how to do, and you do it rightly. This man had an excellent spirit. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. In other words, this man was so shiny and special that he stood out above all these other 120-something folks. He was extremely special. Then the presidents sought to find occasion against Daniel. They says, look, we keep this guy around, we're just going to be just what we are. We'll never grow. We'll never get higher. We'll never get any place else in this government. We're going to be stuck down here where we're at because this man's got his thumb on us because he makes us do right. He makes us make accountability for the things we are doing. This Daniel is so by the rules that he messes up our plans to do cheating and scheming and everything else that goes on. So they wanted to find an occasion against Daniel concerning the... And they said they couldn't find one concerning the kingdom, but they could find one concerning him against his God. Now I would wonder and I would hope that if we keep going in this thing as we're going in this world right now, there's going to be a time when Christians may have to hide. There's going to be a time when Christians may have to go serve God in houses like we have done before and away from other folks. And there's going to be a time when we may even be persecuted for believing what we do. This Daniel served God even under persecution if necessary. And I would say, would it come to a place where maybe even I, the only thing anybody would ever find against me was the fact that I would worship my God no matter what. Yes. That you would worship your God no matter what. Would that be the only way that they could get us by making a law against the rule of worship that if we went and did what we're supposed to do because we're going to do it anyways, that it would get us put in jail? That could very well take place very soon. It could be very well be coming. In fact, we know in the time of the Antichrist, there are going to be rules and regulations that you'll either worship the Antichrist or they'll cut your head off. It says, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God, because they knew his habits. Do people out there see my habits? Do people out there know that I'm going to pray a certain amount of times a day, or I'm going to read my Bible at certain times a day? Do they know that I'm going to be in this church house at certain times? Do they know that I'm going to be doing whatever I may be doing for God at certain times a day? Would they know me good enough that I love my God enough that they could make a plan against me just by using me against God or God against me? Do they know me that well? Do they know us that well? It says, then the princes assembled together. They made this rule. We figured it out. If we can get a law made or a law passed against somebody praying to the living God, and we're going to use the king's pride a little bit doing this. The king didn't really catch on. He didn't even catch it till after it was done, actually, because it hurt his feelings that it happened. But the king had a little pride. He had a little arrogancy. He said, man, it's pretty good if everybody's going to make their petitions to me and their prayers to me and nobody can do anything except to me for 30 days. That'd be kind of pump you up, right? So that's how they got him. They got the king to sign a decree by making him feel good. It says here, these three presidents assembled together and said, king, and said unto him, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together. He probably couldn't get them to do that when he needed them to.
Yeah.
And they have all consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. You reckon he didn't get all puffed up? Boy, it's going to be fun. I'm going to be, not only I'm the king, but everybody's got to come to me for 30 days with every single need and want that they got. Man, that's going to be something. And if they don't, then just chuck them in the lion's den. Now, while he's all puffed up with that, he doesn't even realize what he's doing against Daniel. Because he ought to know. He ought to know Daniel good enough to know that Daniel's going to pray to his God every day, three times a day, and do the stuff he does for God every day, and he's never going to change his mind because he never has before. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing of it, and that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alter not. Now, I'll take you a little sidebar back to Nebuchadnezzar. If you remember about Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar could make any law he wanted to, anytime he wanted to, and he could change it any way he wanted to. He was totally, he wasn't God, mind you, but in his relationship, he was supposedly sovereign. Whatever, he could make you alive if he wants to. He can make you dead if he wants to. And he didn't answer to none of his peoples. Now this guy, Darius, he's under the rule of the Medes and the Persians, where if they all come together and make a law, he doesn't have the power to say, well, you know, I made a mistake. Or, well, I've changed my mind. Once he made his law, according to the Medes and the Persians, they had to fulfill what the law said to do. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that up, and change not according to the Medes and the Persians. Therefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, this is a strange thing, this next verse. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed. Almost sounds like Daniel had heard all this stuff going on. Maybe he wasn't in on the meetings, get you, but somehow or other he knew somehow that they were doing this. Somehow they were going to get this thing signed. But it says, after he knew that the writing was signed, he went to his house. Not to hide, not to shut his windows, not to close the doors, not to get under the bed. But he went to his house, and the windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he did aforetime. In other words, he never changed his way of mode. If he prayed at whatever time it was, 3 times a day he went into his room, 3 times a day he looked towards Jerusalem, 3 times a day he did his supplications and everything towards the living God, Jehovah. It says he never blinked. He knew the decree. He knew it was signed. He knew it was against him. And he still did what he was supposed to do. Then these assembled. Could you imagine sitting there praying and making a supplication to God and hear them all outside? Yeah, is he praying yet? I think he's praying now. I know he's got to be praying now. I hear him. Listen. They could hear him praying. They could hear him talking to God. They had a sealed conviction. There was no way that Daniel could say, they must have misunderstood. My door was shut. They must have misunderstood because my room was closed in and I was somewhere else. They must have misunderstood. He didn't even try to make an escape route. He opened his windows towards Jerusalem. He prayed like he always prayed out loud to his God. And they stood under his window and they heard him pray. And they said, we got him. And they may have waited for him to do it 3 times. I don't know. It doesn't say. But they made sure that they heard it. And they made sure they had enough witnesses that they heard it. And it says they heard him praying 3 times a day, even as he did before. And these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before God. Man, that had to be something. You're standing outside the man of God's house. He's praying to God. And the only reason you're there is to put him to death for praying to his God. To get rid of it. He's heart hurt no one. Not physically, not mentally. He hasn't touched them. He hasn't done anything against them. The only thing he's done is make them do right. The worst thing he's done to any of them is make them do right. And they can't stand him. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree, O king? That every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. And the king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. In other words, yes, I signed that. Yes, I agreed to that. Yes, if there's somebody doing that, let's get her done. Man, we got that law going on. I signed it. I'm stuck. And then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, I can just see the king's countenance falling. I made this law. I was prideful. I listened to you say do this or do that, and in a haste I said, that sounds so great. Let's sign it. And now I can realize what it's about. You're after my man, Daniel. You're after the only man that I can trust in this whole place. You want to get him out of the way. So y'all can do anything y'all want to do. You want the man Daniel because he's honest, because he's true, because he's faithful. And I like him. That had to have broke the king's heart. It had to rip his heart out. He said, oh boy, what have I done? I've signed this thing. And it can't be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh this petition three times a day. They wanted to make themselves look good. They said, look, king, he really ain't the guy you think he is. He really don't like you as much as you think he does, because we made this law, we told everybody the law, and now he still goes to his house, he still prays on his knees three times a day. If he really liked you, king, he'd have quit. If he really thought you were all that's supposed to be, he would have stopped. They're trying to build up their case, making themselves feel better, make themselves look better. And he says, this Daniel doesn't like your decree. This Daniel doesn't like your law. This Daniel is not the man you think he is. And then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. He realized without a doubt what had happened. He realized without a doubt, oh my goodness, what have I done to Daniel? I have listened to these men, and in my pride, I heard their request to make this law. In my pride, I figured I'd be the big guy on the block. In my pride, now I have killed Daniel, and they used me to do it. In my arrogancy, in my ignorance, I have killed my friend Daniel. Because you've got to assume that this guy was his friend. He really liked this man. He says, and then the king heard these words, he was displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. He went through the rule books. He went through the law books. He got his other guys around to make kind of some kind of, how are we going to do this? How can I save Daniel? Get the lawyers up here. Get the whoever has to come. Get me some kind of way to get Daniel off the hook. And he did it till it got night. He did it till it got dark. He says, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. He did his very due diligence to figure out a way to get Daniel free. I don't imagine too many people got out of the lion's den. In fact, until now, I don't think anybody ever really got out of the lion's den. It says here, he labored. He did his very best in his strength. And yet these men come to him. And then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, because this law would go against him if he violated it. Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed. We know you've been trying to figure out a way, knowing you've been trying to figure out a rule, but we don't care what you got. You can't change it. You're stuck. He goes to the lion's den. You ain't got no choice in the matter, king. You can't change your mind. There ain't a thing in the world you can do. Your lawyers and your judges, whoever you want to call, the people that would come in and do another writ or whatever, they cannot fix this law because it's done been decreed by the law of the Medes and the Persians. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Daniel ain't kicking. Daniel ain't screaming. Daniel ain't trying to make us, oh king, I messed up. Oh king, forgive me. Oh king, this, that, and the other. No, he comes. They bring him straight to the lion's den.
That takes a pretty good amount of faith right there. I'm pretty sure he's kind of like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I would say Hananiah, Azariah, and... Oh, come on, somebody hit me with that last one. Anyways, they're Hebrew names. And it says that those guys, they said, whether God deliver us out of the fire or not, we're still not going to bow down to your gods. And I'm sure Daniel said the same thing. God, whether you deliver me or not from these lions, I'm not going to change from praying. I'm not going to change my supplications. I'm not going to change my motive, faithfulness towards you, that I might be able to live. It says here, now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God. The king knew a little bit about Daniel's God. The king knew a little bit about who Daniel was. He says, thy God, whom thou servest continually. Daniel wasn't a part-time Christian. Daniel wasn't a sometime Christian. Daniel wasn't somebody that just picked it up on Sunday morning. He was an everyday Christian. He prayed three times a day. I hear that David prayed seven times a day. I don't know if there's a number that you should pick out that you should pray, but I know one thing, we should pray, and most time I hear it says we should pray continually. So even though we're not officially, formally praying, we should still be praying. It says here, thy God whom thou servest. In other words, Daniel wasn't one of those guys that says, oh God, you owe me. Oh God, you're supposed to take care of me. Oh God, you're supposed to do. But the God he serviced, the God he represents, the God who he follows, the God who he makes a supplication to, regardless if he slay him or he don't slay him, the God that he serviced. Continually. He will deliver thee. Darius says, he will take care of you. He will do this. Now Darius is probably thinking about the lions, but Daniel's saying, either way he's got me. That's the way we think. Either way he's got me. But in the presence of these folks here, Darius is saying, I'll see you in the morning. At least that's my expectation. That's my hope. Daniel, I messed up, but I hope to see you tomorrow. He had a little bit of faith. Not a lot, because he didn't sleep too good. Of course, maybe we wouldn't sleep so much either. All the things we've got going on, all the things in our life, maybe we spend too much time sleeping, less time praying, I don't know. And a stone was brought, and I'm sure it's a pretty good sized stone, and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his signet. And with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. These guys, I bet they were smiling when they went up there and put their stamp on the rock. When they went, oh boy, we got him, he ain't coming out. Now the king was crying when he stamped it. But all those lords were saying, we got rid of Daniel. Stamp, stamp, stamp. I'll even do a double stamp. They didn't realize that by stamping that stone themselves, it was going to cost them later. By stamping that stone, they sealed their own death. Says here, then the king went to his palace and he passed the night fasting. He wouldn't eat. He wouldn't drink. He sat there worried and thinking about Daniel. He went to the luxurious place there is, and instead of feasting and partying and saying, well, I ain't got no control over this. Might as well go on about my business. Ain't got no way to stop none of this. Might as well go about my business. Instead of doing that, he fasted. He gave up his luxuries that God might do a work for Daniel. So he fasted. And passed the night in fasting. And he says, neither were instruments of music brought before him. I'm sure that all night long in the palace there were some violinists and some harp players, and they were playing sweet melodies and nice things all night long, so the king could lay in his slumber and have luxury and not a thing scare him or mess him up. But he says, this night, they didn't even play no music. This night he wouldn't take any comfort creature stuff because his friend was in the lion's den. This night the king tossed and turned on his bed. This night the king worried and worried for his friend. This night he did all he knew how to do, and that was hope in God. And he stayed awake. Then the king rose early in the morning. That's probably about the time I get up, early in the morning. Somewhere around there before the sun even pops up good. Didn't eat no breakfast. He didn't even take a shower. It says he rose up early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. He didn't wait for everybody to get up, get their coffee, get woke up, see what's going on. He says, man, I got to go check on Daniel. I got to go find out what's happened with Daniel. I got to go see if God has saved him. I've got to go see this thing that his God may have spared him out of the mouth of these lions. Now, I'm sure there's a pile of lions in that den. There wasn't just one no big grouchy lion. There's probably a pile of them. And if you ever seen a bunch of cats get after something, they don't let nothing get away too good. I mean, they just all over it. So you got a bunch of big cats in this den, and they probably ain't been fed in days and days and days, and you got one nice chunk of meat. Been there all night. And when he came to the den, he cried in a lamentable voice. He was afraid that he'd probably hear Daniel going, or something like that. That's what he was afraid of. He was lamenting because he was afraid Daniel was either dead or very mangled or hurt terribly. He cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake unto Daniel and said, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lion? He's hoping for a good answer. He's hoping that the answer is going to come. He wants the answer to come. And you can just imagine how his heart must have when he heard the answer. When Daniel said unto the king, live forever, O king! Wow, he's alive still. I don't know how he did it. I don't know where he went in that den. I don't know which rock he got up under. But he's alive still. Man, get this thing open. Hurry up. He's a live forever, O king. My God has sent his angel. Now we know one angel can kill 185,000 Midianites. One angel can take care of a whole army. One angel can scare a whole bunch of folks to half to death. Surely one angel can take care of a pile of lions. No problem, right? Just helping you out with the angel part there. They're bad dudes. When they're told to be bad dudes, they're bad dudes. And when they're told to be good dudes, they just do what they're told to do. And God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me. I can just imagine Daniel, maybe he curled up in the lap of one of them. Had his head up on this one and his feet up on that one. Sleeping like a baby up in there. Because his angel had shut the mouths of the lions. And he says, and here's the reason he says, has shut the mouths of the lions, for as much as before him innocency was found in me. In other words, I didn't violate the rules. I didn't violate the laws except for when it violated God's law. There was nothing in me that I wasn't rioting against your government. I wasn't trying to bring down your government. I wasn't trying to destroy the things around you, O king. God saw that I was innocent in these things. And there was nothing in me to violate your laws except for the fact that I must pray to my God and serve him. God saw no problem in him serving him. God says there was innocency found in him. And as before, O king, I have done no hurt to thee. Nothing Daniel ever done was to destroy Darius. Nothing Daniel ever done was to try to connive anything out of Darius. Daniel was upright in the government for Daniel. And if we had some politicians like that, huh? Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. And they say up out of the den. And a while ago when they said they put the rock up over the hole, I'm thinking this den is a straight down pit, more like. And there ain't but one way out, and that's straight up through that hole, and one way in, straight down through that hole. So they took the rock out of the way, and they pulled Daniel up with a rope. And it says, taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. There wasn't even a scratch. There wasn't even a rip in his clothes. He went in whole. He came out whole. Because he believed in his God. Oh, that I could have that kind of faith. And I must say that Daniel was an extraordinary guy that God used to do some extraordinary things. And I could also say that each one of us has been given an extraordinary faith to believe in a Christ, a Jesus. So even our faith is extraordinary compared to what everybody else has. And the king commanded, and they brought these men. He said, oh boy, that's my turn to get back at these guys. It's my turn. Y'all tried to kill my friend. Y'all tried to ruin my government. Y'all tried to get my only man out of the way who could help me make sure everything was right. He says, now it's my turn. Now it's my turn. We're not even going to make a statue here. I'm just going to take care of this right now. He says, and the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel. He said, all right, guys, there's 100, how many of them? 120 something of them, plus two presidents. He brought them all. He brought them all. And then it says, and he cast them into the den of lions. That'd be a pile of food right there. And before they even hit the bottom of the pit, they were ripped asunder, they were eaten, they were bitten, their bones were crushed. That was before they even hit the bottom. And then he says their children, which could be a whole bunch of folks depending on how many children they had, and their wives. Now I don't know, you know, there's a lot of times when family members, for some reason, when a man violates God's word, the whole family suffers. You remember Achan? Achan took a Babylonian's garment and a few pieces of silver and some stuff like that, buried in his tent. Cost 37 or 36 people their lives from the get-go. And then it cost him his wife, his children, and all of his family. Because he violated the rule. He violated what God said to do. Says, and the children and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came to the bottom of the den. In other words, as soon as they're hitting bottom, as soon as they're landing, the lions are on them. Scratch, bite, eat, crush. They didn't last long. Then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree. He didn't have no big government no more. He didn't cull his government down to a pretty small amount. He said, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. I make a decree. For he is the living God. The God he worships is not a statue. The God he worships is not made by hands. The God he worships is not conjured up in our imaginations, but it is the living God. And steadfast forever. In other words, everything he does is steadfast, purposed, planned, and done effectively. And his kingdom, that which he shall not be destroyed, his kingdom shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. In other words, this God's kingdom will never, ever, ever end. Can never be destroyed. Can never be taken away. He delivered, he delivereth, and rescueth. In other words, he does what he wants when he wants, to whom he wants, and how he wants. He delivereth and he rescueth. And he worketh signs and wonders in heaven,
and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? That's the God that we need to worship. That's the God that we need to praise. That's the God that we need to reverence, because he has the power to even deliver us, even now, from the lion if he so chooses. That power didn't go away back yonder. That power has never been diminished. His arm is not so short that he can't save. It's not too weak that he can't reach into the pits of hell and get somebody out. God can save and God can deliver even now and forever. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. This man went through like three or four kingdoms. Well, three kingdoms. He went through Nebuchadnezzar, then Darius, and then Cyrus. He spent a long time in captivity, and he was a faithful man through the whole thing. Never once did he turn away from what he believed, that we might be faithful as Daniel, that we might be willing even to go to the lion's den or the stake or whatever, and I hope we never do. I hope we never get tested to that point. And I ain't going to say, here's what I would do, because I don't know what I would do. Daniel didn't appear to be some super brave guy with super muscles like Samson or anybody. He just followed God. He just did what God said to do. He just purposed to love God no matter what. He purposed in his heart. That's the best we could do, is to purpose in our heart to do all we can to love God and to follow His ways. And there you go. Pray for us, please.
Heavenly Father, we bow before Your Majesty tonight, thanking You for the testimony that Daniel, Your servant, had. What a man of faith, courage. He had his love set to You, and He wasn't going to offer that. You blessed him. We just pray You forgive us of our failures, our sins.